I'm Farai Chidea in with John Hockenberry. Well, no one likes to hear the words "you're fired." Does "sorry we're laying you off" make you feel any better? From Wall Street to Main Street, Chrysler to Caterpillar, the layoffs just keep coming. In the few months that have gone by, we've watched as the hierarchy of layoffs trickled down again and again. That's what's gotten our friend and New York Times Magazine columnist Randy Cohen thinking. Sure, mass layoffs have come to be as expected as, hey, sunshine in the morning, but are they ethical? Your take we want at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytakeatthetakeaway.org. And, of course, we've got Randy Cohen, author of the new Moral of the Story blog on nytimes.com/ethicist. Morning, Randy.
Morning, Farai.
So, when are layoffs ethical? I mean, you give in your column a detailed economic explanation, but, you know, let's start with the main focus of your article, which really deals with the economics of layoffs and when or when they aren't ethical.
Companies, of course, have to be able to grow and shrink as their conditions change, and that can be a reasonable part of an ongoing management strategy. But to use layoffs as a panicky response to a short-term change is, I think, unethical, because it treats people like disposable things. It treats them as if they were machines that could be mothballed. And this kind of jittery response ends up having a catastrophic effect on the employees, their families, and their communities.
Now, one of your colleagues at the New York Times, Louis Uchitel, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, wrote a book back in 2006 called The Disposable American: Layoffs and Their Consequences. And I was very struck as I read that book by how he talks about the mix of financial and psychological ramifications of what layoffs do. What's your perspective on the breadth of how layoffs affect people?
It's devastating, both psychologically, of course, that your whole sense of self can be bound up in your job. The economic consequences are the most obvious, but it's not just to the individual who loses a job, but also to the family members who are relying on them, and to the community that relies on that ongoing economy to keep it going. What I found fascinating is to start thinking of it as analogous to workplace safety laws, that if a company injures an individual or a community, say you get a coal miner gets black lung, we see the company as having a real moral obligation not to harm the individual that way. Or when you get old, you're thrown out in the street without a pension, or you're an industrial company pollutes a river and seriously damages a town, we see the moral obligation there. But when a company lays off 10,000 people, they can do the same amount of harm, and yet it's a new way to think about it, to make a case that that's an ethical obligation not to harm people in that way.
Let's talk a little bit about one of the scenarios you just laid out, which came to pass with Bethlehem Steel, once one of the giants of American industry, a lot of places along mainly the East Coast and a little bit inland from the East Coast. And they were sued because they did end benefits for retirees after they went into bankruptcy. In a situation like that, what are the factors that both employees and communities should look at as to whether or not they're fair?
Well, there are all kinds of changes that have been made to start to adjust to this. One, and I should say that it may no longer be economically viable to manufacture steel in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and I understand that. But that's not news that shows up in 5 minutes. If management is doing its job, there are many, many years when these circumstances start to emerge and many, many years to start making provisions for the people to whom you have obligations. So the first thing that's done is layoffs must be done equitably, that you begin by they must affect everyone in the company from the highest paid to the lowest paid. Those processes must be equitable. Beyond that, you have to give people enough time to start to make changes. And some communities, some states now have laws that require advance notice. Again, it's not just the individual workers, but the communities itself that are bound up with Bethlehem Steel. The town of Bethlehem depends on that. That's the economic engine that drives it, and they can't adjust to that change in 5 minutes.
You mention that the term social safety net is often misused and abused. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's an odd term, isn't it, safety net, because it suggests that sort of tumbling tightrope walker as if it were to accommodate an individual mistake. You know, I'm a trapeze artist. I shouldn't have been drinking. It's my own fault. I fell. But that's not the right analogy, is it? That what we're talking about is vast economic forces over which an individual employee has very little control. We're not talking about people who didn't do their job or failed as individuals. So that safety net seems wrong somehow. That's not a good analogy. But even when you accept it, it's really very frayed here in America, isn't it? The amount of compensation people receive is much smaller than in most other advanced Western democracies. The amount of time those accommodations are made is much briefer. Employees may lose their health insurance, whereas in most Western countries that's not bound to their job. So that if a company knows that as a result of its actions people are going to suddenly lose these things, it can't simply ignore that. It has to make sure that there are provisions in place to respond, that the companies are politically very powerful. Caterpillar, for example, that's in the middle of laying off more than 20,000 people, it can exert its considerable political influence to make sure that if these people are going to now be the responsibility of the public purse, that there are provisions there to deal with them.
Well, folks can go to your Moral of the Story blog. It is at nytimes.com/ethicist and see if there's a way out of the ethical puzzle that's being caused by the financial dilemma. Randy, thanks so much.
I enjoyed talking to you. Thank you.
All right. That was Randy Cohen, the ethicist.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.